Right, you writer types. I'm aware that there's a potential issue with naming a series How to Write a Script and then doing several episodes on how to plan writing a script, then a couple of episodes on what a script looks like, and not that much focus on the actual writing of the script. Well, that's all about to change for half an episode, and then I'm going to talk about how to rewrite the script that you've hopefully written with about 20 minutes worth of advice. So come on, friends, pull out your pens, dust off your strangely dusty keyboards, and don't start doing any writing just yet. Otherwise, you'll do that thing where you unconsciously type one of the words I said so the sentence doesn't make any sense, and instead take a bit of time to think about how to write a script.
Thinking about writing. How to write a script.
Part 7. Writing and rewriting. Hi, I'm Robin Taylor, writer and script editor unextraordinaire, and this is Thinking About Writing, the podcast which aims to explore and demystify some of the terminology and techniques involved in script writing. It's for anyone who's writing, or thinking about writing, or currently waiting to find out how to write for audio, film, TV, and the stage, as well as the pets and small children of aspiring writers who happen to be in the room while this is playing and are appreciating this on a Sona level, if nothing else. Woof, meow, or indeed, a gaga goo goo. That was a bit of a weird one, and I feel like I've done one like that before. But anyway, let's move on. So yes, writing and rewriting. Now, I've made humorous remarks about how there's not been an awful lot of writing in this here How to Write a Script series, and I'm not about to spend half an hour explaining it's useful to use the ASD and F keys as homes for your left-handed fingers, or anything like that. Realistically, anyone can simply write a script if they want to, and this series is really about how to do so effectively and come up with a solid piece of creative work in the end. Everything up until now has been an effort to make the actual act of writing the script easier and clearer. When it comes down to it, there's no universal or right way to write. We all have our individual approaches and techniques which work for us. And really, it's a matter of figuring out what's best for you. Which means I'm here to fling around a few suggestions so you can find your way forward, as well as how to overcome any of the challenges you may face and avoid any dysfunctional habits we can all easily slip into. Again, much as we can each have our best practice, we also face our individual demons which get in our ways. I've covered all of this in a bit more detail in the episode Thinking About Process, which was kind of the odd precursor to this whole series. And when we get to rewriting, I'll mention the episode on editing, unless I decide that it's sufficient that I already just said that. And some of this episode links to the episode on writer's block too. But as usual, I'll try not to be repetitive and throw in some fresh thoughts, like a lovely sprig of rosemary just plucked from the bushel and lovingly sprinkled into your writing stew. And we'll start off with getting started. How apt.
How to get started.
We've talked a bit in the past about how daunting a blank page can be. And realistically, it's easy to imagine that when it comes to writing, many people fall at the first hurdle by never trying. And it's kind of understandable, what with the whole fear of failure thing. To avoid trying and failing, it's easier not to try. But that's no way to live your life, is it? If there's something that excites and interests you, it's worth giving it a go. It's also questionable what this definition of failure is. If you manage to write a script, that's a success in itself. You literally did what you set out to do. But as will become a bit of a theme over these next two episodes, it's reasonable to accept that, just like any skill or hobby, you're not going to be perfect the first time you try. there's a lot of development and learning which takes place in the act of writing. You wouldn't expect to take up pole vaulting, try it once, fail to leave the ground, let alone clear the record-breaking height, and then give up. Well, if you hated the entire experience, then maybe you would. But if you hate writing, what are you doing trying to be a writer? That's very confusing. Basically, give it a go. That's what I say. But if you are hesitating to get going, like a reluctant pole vaulter, then you don't have to leap straight in. Although that's slightly confusing in the pole vaulter metaphor. You kind of do have to leap in. We literally just spent the last episode saying that the beginning of a script can be intimidating, feeling the pressure to get it right. Well, you don't have to start at the beginning, attempting to craft a perfectly shaped concurrent script. I've suggested before the idea of writing a monologue or a hypothetical scene, just to warm yourself up and explore the voices of your characters, because realistically, some can take longer to figure out than others. Indeed, if a full script seems like too much too soon, especially if it's feature length, then you can try something short form, a 5-minute piece that could be performed at a scratch night, for example. An opportunity to really dip your toe into script writing without having to invest the large energy requirement into something full length. Maybe something could emerge from a short form writing exercise that you could use or convert into a full script itself. Maybe it's just a separate thing to get you warmed up and begin to get a sense of how you want to write. Or if there's a scene that's popped into your head, that's even the spark for the whole idea. You could write that. It doesn't mean it has to be the first scene, or that you'll eventually get it into the script proper, necessarily. But it could get synapses firing as you think about what you do earlier on. Indeed, that's the kind of energy you'd want to take into writing the script anyway. Scenes which excite you and feel urgent. If you feel like the beginning needs to be a load of boring setup before you get to the good stuff, you probably want to have a significant rethink there anyway. But that's more relevant to the last episode, isn't it? Anyway, if you've done the prep work suggested in prior episodes of figuring out your characters, plotting your story, then that's going to help you feel more confident about what you're trying to do. Because in fact, I don't know about you, but I sometimes find the opening scene one of the easiest to imagine. An idea can pop into your head and you think, that's a great start for a story. The problem can then be that you don't know what the rest of the story actually is. Which is why I rarely just start writing with an opening scene in mind, because I know I'll get maybe 3 or 4 scenes in and think, what's actually happening here? And this is potentially another stage where aspiring writers get put off. That initial excitement can lead to confusion and the feeling of being lost. And yes, you can get to that point and think about it, figure it out and move on, but chances are that'll keep happening across the process, which can be slow and frustrating. And it's not just a matter of thinking ahead, but thinking holistically. What's the overall story, direction and intention of the project as a whole? It's a lot easier to attempt to do the thing you're trying to do if you know what that thing is, whereas reacting and adjusting as you go can result in making what you did before obsolete or irrelevant. So if you start and then get stuck, there's the option to step back and look at the bigger picture again, or for the first time if you've not already done so, and assess what your intention is and how much of what you've written fits into that. Your premise, remember that, a sentence or two which sums up the whole idea, can be referred back to, become a mantra even, as you remind yourself what's important. And of course, the best way to overcome a blank page is by putting something on it. Then it's not blank anymore, then you've started, and you can keep going. On top of this, being comfortable that some of what you write will be good, some will be fine, some will need work, and that's all right if you're then willing to put that work in. If you're worried about how many pages you've got to write, just take it a step at a time. Then the numbers will eventually add up, and chances are it'll end up too blimmin' long anyway, because they generally do. So take that first leap of faith that you can do it and get it done. That's step 1 handled. Of course, step 2 is the complication of actually having to do the writing.
Doing the writing.
It's tempting to think of the actual act of writing as the hard graft, but if you've done a decent bit of preparation beforehand, then a lot of the work has already been done, and that was potentially the harder stuff. Figuring out how to join the dots through writing can be simpler than figuring out what the dots are and where they belong. So if you have a story plan and a good idea of what the purpose of the scene is, you can go in trying to achieve that. If you enter a scene thinking, well, I guess character A and character B are here, and they're talking about something. What, though? Well, I guess I'll find out. Cue a load of directionless, repetitive waffle. On the other hand, knowing what the scene is doing makes the writing effectively a fun chance to fill in the blanks. How you handle doing that again is a personal choice. Some people agonise over every word before they write it, some just plough in with the assurance that they can come back and sharpen it up later. I've talked before about skeleton drafts, also known by less classy folk than I, as vomit drafts, where the point is just to get it down. You know the essentials of the scene, so everyone can be very blunt about it, and on the next pass you can make them a lot less blunt. But it's also an opportunity to start thinking about fun or inventive ways to approach what you need to do. As with an opening scene, you can find the dramatic heart of a moment. Where's an effective place to come in which gets things rolling? If a scene starts slow and drab, someone coming home from work, their partner asks about their day, oh, it was fine, what's for dinner? What's this really doing? What is the drama here? If it's setting up a vision of normality, is that really necessary? And it probably better get disrupted somehow pretty soon. We can think of ways writers naturally inject drama into a moment. Someone storming into a scene yelling, "Where is he?" immediately suggests conflict, urgency, action. This isn't to say every scene needs to start with a masked man flying through a window as the kitchen explodes in the background, but it's the usual principle that the writer can pick any moment they wish, so why would you choose the boring bits? Evoking moods and feelings quickly is generally the way to go, which again ties back to your intention in the scene. On the other side, knowing when to get out of the scene keeps things moving, builds momentum. It's all going to help with the direction and drive of the script, making it tight and maintaining audience interest and engagement. There should be freedom to explore and try things out as you write, of course, but being conscious of how far you're veering from your aim can help to keep your eye on complications and deviations which aren't helping. You might just think, we'll keep that for now and have another look at it later. Again, if something is stopping you and risks grinding everything to a halt, you can just go for something that's good enough. Heck, you can skip it for now and just write TBD with the awareness you'll deal with it later, at which point it should hopefully be less of a problem. Or it turns out it wasn't that useful or necessary, so you can simply leave it out. Keeping general momentum and not getting stuck is great when possible. Thinking in terms of scenes can be a really helpful way to make the whole script feel manageable. You can look at it one scene at a time, rather than as this mighty behemoth of a story. If you don't have many scenes, then you can think about the phases within the scenes, or even assess if it'd help to have a scene break that you weren't anticipating. Or recognise that characters exiting or entering can act as shifts or breaks in a scene. All of this can be a part of the tool of targets. Again, the prospect of writing a script feels like a big undertaking, but say it's a 30-page script, if you aim to write 5 pages a day, for example, then that's essentially, theoretically, 6 days to complete a first draft. Is that 6 consecutive days? Unlikely. Is every day you try always going to be 6 pages? Doubtful. But in that context, it doesn't seem so bad, does it? Even doubling that for 60 pages to around 12 days, it feels like less work than you'd think. It might be optimistic, but self-delusion can be a powerful drug. I'd say the kind of targets you want to hit can be up to you, be that a certain number of words or pages, but again, if that's daunting, then looking at it scene by scene can be the way to go, because it compartmentalizes things a bit. So the aim can be to complete a scene. Then it's as long as it needs to be, whereas some word target could end up with you waffling away just to get up to 5,000 words or whatever, and be better suited for writing a novel rather than a script where you often want to keep things quite tight. If you're on a roll, you could keep going beyond your achieved goal, but breaking it down to doing a scene today, a scene tomorrow, eventually those are all going to add up to the completed draft. That being said, there's an interesting consideration here. As an ongoing project, is it better to finish a scene before calling it a day? In some respects, you could say yes, because you get that little achievement endorphin and can treat yourself to a congratulatory Tunnock's tea cake. Plus, the next time you work on the script, you have a clear endpoint to move on from. The counter-argument to this could be that the finality of a scene ending gives you more leeway to walk away from the script for longer, leaving it in a stable condition, whereas intentionally leaving a scene incomplete could provide more impetus to return and finish it off. And then the risk there is that, should it take you a while to return, you're faced with this scene that's just cut off midway through, and you may have forgotten what you were planning to do and need to go back and remind yourself what the heck was going on. So it's complicated to consider, and this is just one more of those examples where you may find different approaches have different positive or negative ramifications for you. So adjust accordingly. This all speaks to the volatility of writing, especially as a hobby or an aspiration. It's not like you do the 9-to-5 just working on a script, particularly when we're already working a 9-to-5 at the same time. Even working as a professional, sometimes I've written a full script in a weekend because I was in the zone and also nobody wanted to hang out with me. Other times a project has dragged on for months because I'm not feeling it, I can't get in the zone, or there's just no real necessity to get it done. It can be incredibly challenging to find the time, energy and inspiration to write, particularly when you've got other things going on. So it's helpful to use your time effectively, again, going in prepared, having a decent idea of what you want to write before you start writing it, if that's how your brain works. Some people might be able to allocate an hour or two to write, sit down and crank it out. Others might try that and just sit in front of the keyboard despairing about life and barely manage to write a word because they can't just summon the muse on a whim. Once more, there's a balance, isn't there? You don't necessarily want to force it and turn it into a punishment, but you don't want to use the uncontrollable nature of inspiration as an excuse to never do anything. You shouldn't beat yourself up if life gets in the way, because if you then associate writing with a feeling of guilt or resentment, you're not going to want to do it. At the same time, if you make it too much of a looming threat, you'll be deterred. It's a bit like putting off going to the gym out of an irrational fear of inadequacy or humiliation. But when you can push yourself to do it, you'll feel that sense of achievement, even if it's accompanied by a desire to throw up. And if you want to be a professional, well, it's a bit like that pole vaulting thing, isn't it? You've got to keep practicing and improving. If you get a writing gig, you can't miss deadlines because you weren't feeling it. You've got to get it done. Which is why setting yourself targets and deadlines can be incredibly helpful, as motivation, as practice, and to form good habits. Even if that target is write one scene by the end of the week, that's more than no scenes. And it's going to end up contributing to the eventually completed script. So hopefully doing the writing isn't hard graft, but that doesn't mean it's no graft. I sometimes like to joke, it practically writes itself, ironically acknowledging that nothing writes itself, really. There is work to be done, and sometimes we have to make ourselves do it, but intentions and aims are helpful, as well as recognising it's a process, that what you initially write isn't locked in, and it can be worked upon. Which brings us into rewriting.
Editing as you go.
Question mark? I guess
Editing as you go?
I'm not very good at doing that without sounding like Scooby-Doo.
Yes, we're going to talk about rewriting more thoroughly momentarily, but it's worth asking about editing as you go. When it comes to the theorising portion of writing, then ongoing editing can be incredibly useful. You might have noticed, as I talked about that damn laundrette idea, that any time I was thinking it through, I'd often reconsider something. Oh, I could do that, maybe that's more interesting. That wasn't just because I'm chaotic and incapable of making a basic decision, it's because that's how thinking works, I think. You have one idea, then another, and the second one is either better or makes you realise you'd like the first one more. And if decisions and ideas have knock-on effects, changing what either comes before or after, then obviously it's useful to do that at the concept stage rather than once you've written the whole thing. Though, as we'll discuss, that can happen too. But does similar thinking apply to when you're writing? Well, that's an interesting thing to think about. How self-referential. So, for example, if you finish a scene, should you go back and rework it immediately afterwards? Personally, I'd say probably not. It sounds like it'd slow down the momentum a lot and stop you progressing when sometimes it's better to get your head down and keep going. But you could also see an argument for being happy with what you have before moving on. Sometimes as you write, you might make small realisations like, I need an extra scene here, or I don't need or could merge that one, or maybe this needs to come earlier. And that's all reasonable minor changes you can make as you go or address later on in the edit. At a more extreme end of the scale, if you're quite far in and something happens during the writing of the scene that makes you rethink everything that came before it, should you carry on regardless, or return and rework everything immediately? That's a tricky one, isn't it? If everything you go on to write will potentially be impacted by any prior changes, it may not be worth doing. But disrupting all of your work before you've had a chance to finish your draft sounds quite radical too. And yet, excuse a rare personal anecdote, but when I was a young fool, rather than an old one, I decided I'd write a novel. I'd usually get quite far into a version, then decide I didn't like what I'd written, or that I'd written myself down a dead end, so I'd go back and start again, which meant I never finished the stupid thing. But I think this also explains why I did end up in script writing, because I am a bit of a tinkerer, and tinkering with 30 or 60 pages of a script is quite a different prospect to reworking a couple hundred pages of a novel. You can totally redo a script relatively easily, should the mood take you. Perhaps the answer is in the necessity. If you can recognise you're going down a wrong track and you need to change course or even retrace your steps, then it's valid to do so. But within that, we need to attempt objectivity. Are there actual problems, or are we just in our feelings, doubting or second-guessing what we've done without need? Having a bad day, which makes your knee jerk as you declare, clearly this whole thing is a big mess. Because that can lead to destructiveness and getting caught in a loop of constantly restarting. And then we'll never publish our stupid, modern, Famous Five parody about a group of weird teenage misfits called the Strange Six. Which probably explains why I'm not a fan of going into things half-cocked with only a vague plan, because the ultimate aim is to finish a project rather than abandon it, or getting caught up in some Sisyphean never-ending ordeal. As that is one of the ultimate feelings of writing, of getting to the end, of typing the end, or fin, if you're in a Bergman kind of mood, to bask in the glory of completing the job for a brief period of time before you start thinking about the rewrite. Doing rewriting. Once again, for anyone joining the podcast late, I speak more extensively about rewriting in the episode Thinking About Editing. What follows will be condensed and additional thoughts. The first thing I'd say is you should always do a second draft. Yes, it's awesome that you finished the script, but it's not necessarily wise to see it as something ready to go out into the world. Even if you only commit to a little trim and polish, it'll make a difference. And I'll talk a bit next episode about proofreading. But realistically, there are almost always opportunities to improve a script, especially if the writing process has involved moments of "that'll do for now." Any of those TBDs eventually need to be D'd. Any stating the obvious clunky or flat writing needs to be addressed and refined. And of course, refinement can't occur without that raw material in the first place. Some first-pass stuff will be great, but others can be smoothed and polished, so the audience don't see any screws awkwardly pointing out or snag themselves on a jagged edge. But at this point you may be thinking, "Robin Taylor, you massive bastard. Well, I've not done one of these for a while. Why would you make us do all of that planning if you're going to make us rework the script anyway?" As ever, a valid question. Well, because the planning again should help to make the rewriting easier. If you had a clear objective, character arcs, plot points, and so on, it's easier to then evaluate how well you've achieved that, rather than looking back and trying to figure out what you are actually trying to do. I sometimes think that a planned first draft can be a bit like the start of doing a jigsaw puzzle. Often all the pieces you need are there, they just need to be put in the right places. And a solid plan means you've got the picture on the box to aim for. You've probably got the corners down to help out too. A lack of a plan can mean you've just got lots of pieces in front of you and it's going to be quite a laborious process figuring out how you make a coherent picture out of them. I've also said in the past that coalescing and editing a script can be harder when you've got a script because you've committed ideas. There are things you like and love and struggle to then cut or change, even if that would actually benefit the cohesion of the script as a whole. Obviously, it's not impossible, but it is more tricky. Now, of course, one way to undertake a rewrite is to get some script notes from someone who's read the script and respond to those. And that's a topic I cover a fair bit in Thinking About Criticism. Still the most unpopular episode of this whole series ever. But if you're starting out, feeling a bit insecure about your work, or just don't know many people who could give you notes — coincidentally, I, Robin Taylor, offer script notes at a pay-what-you-can-afford rate. Get in touch via my website, robinleetaylor.com, if you'd like to make an inquiry. Then one thing, which is incredibly beneficial to work on anyway, is assessing your own work. And that can also be daunting, much like actors claim they can't watch themselves performing, though I'm sure that's a massive lie. We can be our own worst critics. We can equally struggle to identify our own failings. And it's certainly not a case of tearing down your own work, but looking at it and thinking, am I delivering on my aims? Is there a better way, a more original or funnier or shocking way I could handle that moment? To see what you're doing well alongside what you could improve. This kind of thinking is particularly useful when heading into a rewrite, as it's smart to have core objectives. Yeah, more planning. If you just start a page one rewrite and address things as they come up, that doesn't necessarily take into account the bigger picture of the script, meaning you're making unconnected alterations or simply focusing on less relevant things, like grammatical choices, which are better left for a proofing pass. So, for example, you might look at a script and recognise that the most significant and evident problem is that one of the characters is significantly weaker than the others. So you would go into a new draft with a particular eye on them, whether that's giving them more presence or purpose, strengthening their identity, or simply figuring out how they fit into the story. If your page count is incredibly high or the pacing feels slow, then you'd be going into the rewrite focusing mainly on cuts, identifying which parts feel slow or unnecessary, or if there's an element you could lift out to simplify matters, making the focus sharper and speeding things up. Maybe a certain act isn't working, so you're going to primarily look at how to get it in order, and then consequently carry forward or retroactively apply any impactful alterations from that into the other acts. And yes, You may choose to make other edits and look at other concerns as you go if you notice them or realize they need to be made, but not in a purely responsive manner. This can help with that step-by-step mentality, whereas going into a rewrite with no sense of what you're going to do could be overwhelming because you have no knowledge of how much work might be required. You can do a specific pass, which may not take too much work, then look again and assess how everything is functioning in unison before identifying another smaller priority.
How to do an edit.
So how does one go about this script evaluation? Well, call me a stinky old fart, if you must. Having already suggested in a previous episode writing a draft by hand, I'm now going to suggest printing out a script to make notes on it. And I'll tell you for why. Not because I'm being financed by the paper industry, though I am still available to sell out my principles to the highest bidder. Or any bidder, come to that matter. No, it's because it can just be easier to get a big picture of the script when it's physically in front of you. You can notice if a scene's 12 pages long and all the others are 2, and decide if that's the balance you want. Or if a big speech is a bit too huge on the page. You can separate out your scenes to make them more manageable. But also, as you assess the script, you don't have to make immediate changes in the same way you might feel obliged to on your computer. You might just make a note to trim a scene down, but can decide how you want to do that at a later point. Sometimes a note might just be a big question mark in the margin because you feel something's not quite right, but you're not sure why yet. Then you'll come back to look at it after you've finished reading the script or at another point. You can write the kind of area of dialogue or action you might want to write without committing to anything. Even just crossing out a couple of words can make you see that the writing is suddenly cleaner and sharper. Of course, if you don't own a printer or don't want to remortgage your home in order to afford some printer ink, there are other workarounds. But I would suggest having a go at giving yourself notes before taking action. One day, you'll hopefully have a lovely read through, and you'd then take notes on the script as it happens. So it's great practice for when you hit the big time. And on such occasions, you need to apply your critical analysis you've been working on to see what needs work, rather than just having a lovely listen and thinking, oh, isn't it lovely people are saying the words I wrote. Naturally, you want to address such notes to yourself when they still make sense to you, rather than coming back and wondering why you just wrote butter ? Next to a scene. There's an argument that it's good to take a bit of time away from a project before tackling it again, if you have that kind of patience and time on your side. And it can certainly help you take a step back and regain a bit of objectivity. Is there an optimum amount of time to do that? Not necessarily. If it's still feeling fresh and exciting, it's fair to jump back in quickly. If you're feeling a bit drained or the project has significantly slipped as a priority, then more time away may be wise. I would say it can be an interesting experience to return to a script when you've had a bit of time to forget about it, either marvelling that it's much better than you remembered or wondering if there was a carbon monoxide leak in your home at the time you wrote it. Either way, the imperative is then to roll up your sleeves, get back at it, and make it better, because a script can always be improved. Just make sure you're not changing it for the simple sake of change. Your decisions are always better if reasoned and purposeful. One of the biggest things I've observed across my script editor career is how writers become familiar with their own work and find it predictable or boring, forgetting that people who haven't seen it before will experience it for the first time and have no such preconceptions. So go easy on yourself, yeah? It's fair to recognise that sometimes plans can simply go awry, and the script you end up with isn't what you wanted, and quite often that can relate to a realisation that you don't like the idea that much. In which case, you may return to the premise, think it over again, see if there are fixes you can make, which may require a much more significant rewrite if any changes you want to make are fundamental. Yet it's also worth recognising what you can salvage. For example, I could quite easily acknowledge that I don't want to write about a stupid laundrette. But in the process of forming or even writing that story, there are things I do like. An interesting lead character, a fun dynamic between an aunt and a nephew who are competing and opposed to one another. If anything, that's the real framework of the idea, so I just need to put them in a different context. No longer a laundrette, now a fishmonger's. Much better! I'm being facile there, obviously, but it's true that in writing, you will always do good stuff, and that can often be adapted into something different if you've lost your passion for the original concept. I also advocate not to give up on something too quickly. Recognise if you're losing your objectivity and turning against your own writing because you're having a hard time or just doubting yourself. That's when it's good to bring in a fresh pair of eyes who don't have the same familiarity as you do and can look at it with an untainted perspective. And even if they agree that maybe it's not the sexiest concept in the world, I bet they'd still be saying, "But I like that bit, that was interesting," which can help you think about how you could recycle it. This in turn may give you more clarity in your planning as you go into a rework. And since planning is such a recurring theme, let's take a minute to contemplate that and different approaches to writing. Do you need to plan? Oh great, the episode that's supposedly about writing rather than planning has a section on planning. Look, I can understand the desire just to write and see what happens, but as ever, the risk may be that not a lot happens, or it doesn't make a lot of sense. Plots can become like runaway trains, just chugging along on momentum rather than reason, which may seem okay to the writer at the time, but not so much to the audience. Avoiding the front-end work of thinking out what you want to do will most likely result in more back-end work of then trying to reshape in a way which is more satisfying and cohesive. Can you just write a script without planning or editing it and it turns out great? Well, it's possible. But it's possible you could get struck by lightning too. It's just highly unlikely. Whereas if you plan to be in the middle of a golf course, holding a large metal object during a massive thunderstorm, that's going to increase your odds significantly. And it's the same with writing, in a way. Good things can happen spontaneously and unexpectedly, of course, but if they're occurring in the framework of an intention, that's only going to strengthen rather than stifle those moments where you think, hang on, what if? Throughout this series, I kind of imagined I was heading towards some kind of "What kind of writer are you?" section. Like some sort of out-of-date, illogical BuzzFeed quiz which tells you what flavour Müller Corner yoghurt you are based on your personality. It's always tempting to categorise and say you're a planner or a gardener or an editor. But as always, Aristotle raises his head again and says the golden way, the way of the mean, the middle route, the Goldilocks version, if you have to. That's often the wisest way forward. Because while we may all have preferences, to preach some form of exclusivity doesn't seem that useful. If you're too stringent a planner, then the eventual writing could end up rigid and formulaic, simply following a roadmap and making easy first choices, rather than allowing yourself to be taken down unexpected paths and being flexible with your choices. If you're purely an organic writer who explores and figures out where they're going as they go, the risk is you don't actually find where you're trying to go and end up with a script which doesn't quite come together. If you're too much of an editor, it's possible that you'll never settle on anything, constantly adjusting and snipping, cutting out stuff which was good simply because it had the misfortune of feeling stale to you, never getting a chance to show its freshness to the audience. Which is why trying to do a bit of everything is beneficial, even if you do have a stronger inclination to one over another. And if you wish to have a writing career, displaying all of these skills is useful. If you're pitching to get a series, you'll have to plot it out, rather than asking them to trust you that you'll figure it out the day before production starts. If you're hired as a writer on an existing show, you'll need to follow plot lines which are given to you, while also showing you can deal with problems independently. If you want to make waves, then your writing will demonstrate creativity and innovation. If you get script notes, you'll need to be able to edit your own work so as to address concerns and push your writing up to a higher standard. Time for my usual platitudes of utilizing your strengths and working on the things which you may not feel so comfortable with, because they're not drastically different. They're really part of the same thing, which is the ability to understand, adapt, and communicate your intentions of your work. Essentially, plan the intention, begin to express it in the writing, then finesse it in the editing. Easy, eh? Not easy, no, but entirely feasible. As ever, the philosophy remains that if you're just writing for fun or a hobby, you can do it however you want to. If you want to write as a career, then it's wise to be open to the work and expectations you may face, recognizing that your approach may be unconventional, but it works for you, then figuring out how you'd address any of the areas where you might struggle, but hopefully never losing that sense of fun and self-expression which had come with writing, alongside any possible blood, sweat and tears. You can be an amateur pole vaulter and do it because you enjoy competing and using your skills and inclination of pole vaulting. And sure, maybe you're not the best out there, but you're still better than a lot of people who never pole vault at all. But if you want to be one of the best pole vaulters out there, you're going to need to be disciplined and rigorous. You'll have to be out on that training ground as much as you can, sometimes when you really don't want to, and striving to improve and address anything that isn't working as it should in your pole vaulting technique. But if you apply that dedication, hopefully you'll achieve your dreams. And that metaphor applies to writing too, in case you were thinking this podcast had undergone an unexpected rebrand into Thinking About Pole Vaulting. Maybe next series, eh? But we don't have time to think about pole vaulting anymore right now, because it's the end of the episode. Well, there we go then. Approaches to writing can vary depending on personal style, habits, and circumstances. And as ever, you can find what's right for you and adapt as necessary. Rewriting is lovely and valuable and even enjoyable if you're that way inclined. So it's always worth doing until you reach the point where you feel like you're done. You can do no more. And that's precisely what we'll be talking about next week as we look at the finishing touches and what you do once you've got that finished script. If you're working along at home, is anyone working along at home? I have no idea. Then this week's the big challenge to go off and write a script, I suppose, a whole script by next week. No, as you can. Or if you've got a script that you've already written, have another look at it. See what editorial decisions you might want to make to it. Of course, you don't have to do any of those things if you don't want to. This isn't school. I'm not your teacher. Teachers get paid. And with that in mind, if you'd like to hire me and put some shiny coins into my coffers, you can get in touch via my website, robinleetaylor.com. I've plugged it already once this episode. Or become a patron via patreon.com/thinkingaboutwriting. You can also say hello and tell the world this podcast has provided some enjoyment to you via Twittery X or Instagram @writing_pod. Or write a review, leave a rating, follow the pod, throw a bone my way. And maybe I'll stop reeling off this list all the time. Although it's been really fruitful. I'm so glad that I've accumulated minutes of self-publicity with such great effect. Join us next week for the finale of this season. so you can then comfortably push over someone in the street and say, get out of my way, I know how to write a script. Obviously don't do that. There's enough antisocial behaviour in the world right now already. Anyway, off you pop. And until next time, indulge in thinking about writing a script. Okay, take care, bye-bye.
Thinking About Writing features music from Chris Stamper, illustration by Matt Mars, and design by Adam Smith.
Thinking About Writing. How to write a script.